Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 13. All of these things given to the beast, I think seven, the last time we counted. He's given a mouth, he's given a seat, great authority, he's given all of these things. And then we find out, Revelation 13, 7, the first time I really read this and took it for what it meant, I went, wow, that's big. Revelation 13, 7, it was given unto him. Who gave it? Who gave it to him to do this? It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. I mean, we can understand how the beast is going to have power over all the evil people. Yeah. But the saints, he's going to be given power to make war with the saints and to overcome them. That's deep. That is very, very deep. What we're going to do is we're going to identify who the saints are. We're going to identify them from the Bible. We're not going to play magic tricks with the Bible. We're just going to go line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We're going to identify who these saints are according to the Bible. Not what the charts say, not what the experts say. We're going to stick with the Word of God. This same passage, there's a double witness to this. Same passage, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. I like this. Daniel is the 27th book of the Old Testament. Revelation is the 27th book of the New Testament. See how they go together. They're mated. One is sealed, one is not. Jeremiah 32, when God told Jeremiah to buy this property, they had two copies of the title deed, the book of the purchase. One was sealed, one was open. Daniel sealed, Revelation is open. That's what it says in there. But anyway, Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, that's here, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. I think that has something to do with the Large Hadron Collider, particle physics, the Higgs boson, quantum mechanics. They're thinking that a quantum particle can be in two places at once. Can the same particle can go from this point to this point and not ever occupy the space in between? It's weird. Quantum stuff is weird. I'm studying it right now, and I'm just. But the idea that in the quantum world, it's almost they are telling us that quantum particles have the ability to move in time. It's weird stuff. Anyway, and there's a big statue of Shiva the Destroyer, Abaddon, Apollyon, right in front of the CERN main research building. He shall think to change times and laws. I believe the Bible. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. But he, according to Daniel, he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Back in Revelation, it is given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So let's go through the Bible. You know what we do. We're going to look at saints in the Bible. Roman Catholicism says that sainthood is a very blessed, holy elevation of status. Some old geezer Roman Catholic that died, and apparently he's got, I don't know what the criteria, I think he has to do some kind of miracle or be some miracle associated with him or whatever. But here you have ratbag popes and dirty, sleazy, idol-worshipping Roman Catholics throughout the ages that have been elevated to sainthood. The Pope has to give them, he has to beatify them, first of all, which means bless them, and then he has to elevate them to the status of that they're a saint. And once they're a saint, You can pray to them. Dear St. Joseph, dear St. Jude, I'm a hopeless case. Please go to Mother Mary and tell her how bad I am. That's what they do. I feel sorry for people who pray to other gods. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, God said. And then they build an idol to them. I don't understand that. That's the Catholic's version of the word saints. But according to the Bible, we're going to find out who the saints are, all right? And they're not all from New Orleans, by the way. Deuteronomy 33:3. I like that. Deuteronomy 33:3. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy word. So first of all, the saints are those who have received the word of God. Jesus Christ, the word, the scriptures, they have received. And they have the Bible. They believe the Bible. They've received the word of God in them. 1 Samuel 2:9, notice this. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Saints are people who, through no merit of their own, have been given the grace of God and have been kept by God. He will keep the feet of his saints. Just because an enemy is allowed to overcome us. Let's put this in a very practical, this is right now kind of teaching. God will allow his saints to be overcome. David was overcome at times. The Israelites, go read the book of Judges. They were overcome. Paul was thrown in prison. He was overcome by his enemies. Spirit of Antichrist was working against Paul. He'd receive lashes. They beat him so hard with stones, they thought he was dead. They threw him out. And Paul, well, I was dead, but I got better. And he lived. Okay? John, the Apostle John, according to tradition, according to history, don't know if it's true or not, but according to history, they threw John in a vat of boiling oil to kill him. And he got out alive. I think if they throw me in hot something to kill me, I think I'd rather die. But John didn't. He come out, he died of natural causes. An old man. God does allow the enemy to overcome us and to make war against us at times for his pleasure, for his purpose, his glory, for our betterment. Some people they don't understand that. They can't handle that. They think that, oh no, we're saved. We're victorious at all times. And I get that. I absolutely do. We're more than conquerors. We triumph. God causes us to triumph in every place. Sometimes the best way for us to triumph, or for there to be triumphing in us, is for us to be conquered. Humiliate us. Bring us down. Humble us. He causes the spirit of Antichrist, even right now, to make war against us and to overcome us. This is not some new far out. God's only going to do that with the tribulation saints. Doesn't really say that. It just says the saints. And so I don't think this is some brand new thing that's going to happen only at this little time frame right here. I think God is consistent all throughout. God let Joshua be overrun at Ai. And the king of Ai is a perfect model of the Antichrist because he's hung on a tree, he's cursed. And so God allowed Joshua and his men, literally the king of Ai made war against Joshua and the saints and overcame them. That's what happened. So I don't think this is some new thing that God's only going to do in this little time period right here, but they've never done it before. I think it's consistent with what we see in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, 41. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let thy saints rejoice in goodness. And so, number one, thy priest. We know that as born-again believers, we are a holy priesthood, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let thy saints rejoice in goodness. So number of whatever number this is. Saints have been clothed with salvation, and they rejoice in goodness. So they receive the words. He keeps them. No man prevails against them. They are saved, and they rejoice. Even in trials and terrible things happening to them, they rejoice. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye his saints, O ye saints of his, got to read it right, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Look at the context. The word saints, he's brought them up from the pit. Don't ever forget the grave that God pulled you out of. Give thanks at the remembrance of God's holiness. Saints are not self-righteous. They have been made holy. They've been clothed with salvation, which means they were naked without it. God clothed them with his salvation, his righteousness. They had the remembrance of God's holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. They weep at the night, the saints do. But in the morning, the sun of righteousness arises with healing in his wings. So you get even here the idea that they are being persecuted, or some terrible thing is happening to them, and they're weeping at night. And they're singing, just like Paul and Silas in the prison cell. But joy comes in the morning. Psalm 31:23, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Something about preservation that, I don't know, I think some people either ignore or don't want to know it. Never saw it before, but I think you ought to study the doctrine of preservation and how God works it. Does God preserve his saints? Yep. That's what it says. He preserves his saints. He preserves his people. But it says here, the Lord preserveth the faithful. Saints are faithful, which means they abide continually in faith. Faith is not works. Belief and trust is not a work of the law. It's not a work of the flesh. It has nothing to do with it. People are ridiculous. They're going around saying that faith is a work, and belief is a work, and we're not saved by works. And anybody who says you're saved by faith, then you're teaching work salvation. That's all you got to do to try to ruin somebody's, tell them they teach work salvation. It's almost like this idea that God just grabs infidels up and says, you're going to heaven whether you like it or not. That's ridiculous. I don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. He preserves faithful people. He does not preserve unfaithful people. So what the Bible teaches us, if thou continue, Paul says. And so I believe a true born-again Bible-believing Christian, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, been given the spirit of God's Son, crying, Abba, Father, given the earnest of the inheritance until the time of the purchased possession, of the redemption of the purchased possession. I believe those people are preserved in Christ. It's like Noah in the ark. They're preserved in there. They are also faithful. They didn't quit believing. They didn't go down to the altar when they were 12, go to Sunday school for a few weeks or a few years, and then they become atheists or liberals or Bible haters or witches or warlocks or sodomites or whatever. God did not preserve them. There is no fruits of righteousness in their life. God preserveth the faithful. That's exactly what I believe. And so saints are preserved even if the beast makes war against them and overcomes them. Even if that happens, God's going to preserve them. He plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. That would be the beast. Psalm 34:9. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Saints fear God. They have the seven spirits of God. What are the seven spirits of God? Isaiah chapter 11. My grandpa used to say 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of the fear of the Lord is number 7. Here, there's no want to them that fear him. God takes care of his people. He treats them well. He gives them better than they deserve. He doesn't give them everything they want, but he clothes them. He feeds them. He feeds the sparrows. He clothes them. And God takes care of his children. There's no want to them that fear him. So saints fear God. They have the seven spirits of God in them. They have a very, very reverent respect for who God is. And the word fear means fear. I know what God can do to me. I know what I deserve. I know sometimes I've said, God, you should have got me. And he didn't. So I fear the Lord. I know what God can do to sinners. And I highly respect my God. So the saints never have any lack. They never have any want. They fear the Lord. Psalm 37:28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. You think that when this beast makes war with the saints and overcomes them, you think he's going to get away with it? By the way, do you think anybody that has ever done you any harm, do you think they're going to get away with it? Same answer. The answer is no. The Lord loveth judgment. God's watching everything that everybody does. Everything. And when you're done wrong by somebody, somebody hurts you, somebody slanders you, somebody lies about you, somebody harms you physically, emotionally, whatever, they're not going to get away with it. Period. So he loves judgment. He forsaketh not his saints. He doesn't cast them aside. Here's this beast making war against the saints and overcoming them. And God's just saying, you have no idea, beast, what you're doing. You're a beast. You touched my saints. You touched my anointed. I'm going to tear you to pieces. They are preserved forever, ever, ever, ever. I believe that. I believe they are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Beast. See the contrast here. Even though he is allowed to make war with the saints and overcome them, it's not a bad thing. It's not that God's forsaken his saints. It's not that God has put them away. And again, lay aside the eschatology of it and deal with the practical. The spirit of Antichrist is already at work right now. And he overcomes saints. He overcomes saved people. God allows him to. Why? So that God can show forth his deliverance and his salvation and his strength in your life, not your own. I am always troubled. A lifetime spent in the church, me. A lifetime spent looking up to preachers and people in the church in my lifetime, even as an adult, holding in high regard certain men. And at times, I have seen these men absolutely crushed and destroyed by their own sinfulness. And they had this air about them that they could do no wrong and never be harmed. And we hear their stories constantly of how God allowed the beast to make war against them and overcome them. Does that mean they're not saved? Probably not. Does that mean they lose their salvation? No. What it means is, apparently, some people get too high and God brings them down. He does that by releasing their enemies on them. That's how God does it. Go read Judges if you don't believe me. God did it, I think, 15 times in the book of Judges to Israel, over and over and over again. They would live. They'd cry out unto God. God would send a savior to them, a judge. He would deliver them. They would worship the Lord. God would bless them. They would be rich. Richness turned into idleness. Idleness turned into sinfulness. Sinfulness turned into, let's go serve Baal and Ashtaroth. When they got there, God sent the Moabites, ruled over them for, I don't know, 7, 14, 40 years, something like that, different time frames. And when they'd had enough of having the spirit of Antichrist overcome them, they cried out unto the Lord. Go study in the Psalms where David said, I cried unto the Lord. I cried out unto the Lord because of mine enemies. Go study that. You'll see it. You'll see that God will allow us to be beaten down so that we realize that it's God's strength, not ours. Psalm 50, verse 5, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Here is the covenant, right here. This covenant, from Matthew to Revelation, is the covenant Jesus said, even in the Gospels. He said, this blood, this wine, fruit of the vine, is the New Testament in my blood. This do you in remembrance of me. And so even in the Gospels, you have the covenant that God makes with all people. And that covenant is bound by the four corners of these pages, from Matthew to Revelation. And then that's the extent of the contract. It ends right here. When Jesus said, no more words added, none taken away, but no more words added right here. This is the extent of the covenant right here. Here is the Joe Smith's lie that God has. Oh, we got another cut. There's another contract. I mean, I know that we have this contract here between us and God, but this contract overrules that contract. See the lie? All these people, they have forsaken this contract for this one. They're doomed. So here's the covenant that we made with God and God made with us. This covenant said, if you do every single law that I have, I'll let you live in the land of Palestine. I'll let you live in that land there that I'm going to give you. If you miss one, you're cursed. It's over with. Here, this covenant says, and God wrote into this covenant that when this covenant fails, he's going to give them a new one. Not based upon the terms of the old covenant. Not based upon if you do. This one's based upon if you believe. If you believe that I am the resurrection and the life, if you believe that I am the way, the truth, the life, if you believe what I said in my contract, I'll give you everlasting life. Not just this land. I'll give you all of heaven and earth. I'll give you everything. That's the contract. The saints have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. What was the sacrifice? Christ in the four Gospels. Psalm 52:9, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Saints praise God. They wait on the name of the Lord. They wait on the Lord. They are patient. They don't just, well, God wants us to do this. Sometimes you need to take the first step, and then God will do. God's waiting for you to act and to work. I used to hear that all the time. God's waiting for you to step forward in faith. That's what He's waiting on. I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. What I see is they that wait on the Lord, not the ones that God's waiting on. Those that wait on the Lord to perform. That's who the saints are. They wait for God. Psalm 79:2. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Wow. Did you see that? Thy dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints and the beasts of the earth. God allows His saints to be eaten by beasts. The flesh of His saints, very important, but not their soul. He can have their flesh, and He does. You ever heard of flesh-eating bacteria? Think of it that way. You ever heard of leprosy? I mean, it just consumes the flesh is what it does. Can't hurt the soul, though. Can't do it. And right here, the dead bodies of thy servants. Think of the two witnesses. The two witnesses, and we just studied that, Revelation 11, the beast that comes out of the bottomless pit makes war against them and overcomes them. And their dead bodies lie in the street for 3.5 days. The flesh of thy saints and the beasts of the earth. Wow. And you know what? So what? So what? Remember, they love not their lives even unto the death. Psalm 89:5. And the heaven shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. We praise and worship God's faithfulness and the congregation of the saints. Congregation is a church word. There is the congregation, the Old Testament, congregation, the New Testament, but it's the congregation, the gathering together. Con means with. Gregation, I'm gonna make a guess here. I know what aggregate is. In concrete, it is the aggregate that you put in concrete is like gravel. And gravel serves as a strengthening and something for the concrete to bind to other than itself. You can have just regular concrete with no aggregate in it, no gravel. It's not as strong. When you put the gravel, whatever kind it is, that strengthens that and it binds it all together. So I would say the phrase congregation is those who have been bound together by their covenant with the Lord. The congregation of the saints. Psalm 97:10, moving right along. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Saints hate evil. They don't jump into it. They don't say, I can do whatever I want to. They don't do that. Saints hate evil, and saints are preserved, and God delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Which means that they were in the hand of the wicked. That's what I think it means. And God delivered them out of it. Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. God allows saints to die. Been doing that for thousands of years. Abraham died and was buried. Moses died. David died. Solomon died. These all died. Noah died. I mean, think about it. God saved Noah's life in the flood. And then he died. And it's very precious when those people die. It's precious to the Lord. We use that verse all the time at funerals of people that we know are saved. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalm 132:16, I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. That's what we saw a while ago. Psalm 148:14, he also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. So the children of Israel are included in the idea of the saints. They are not all Israel who are of Israel. Israel, the term, is defined as those who are under the covenant of Abraham by faith. Whether they were born Jews or they have been grafted in. That's Israel. That's kind of how I see it. So anyway, even the children of Israel, people near unto him, praise ye the Lord. Proverbs 2:8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. I like this one because it's another God preserved the Bible. The way of the saints is the word of God. It's the book. This is the path of life. This is the way. Jesus said, I am the way. So this is the way. And he preserveth that. The way of the saints, saints follow the word of God. They follow the Bible. They live by the testimonies of the word of God. And they keep it. Now, Acts 26:9. Watch this. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This is Paul. When Paul was Rav Shaul, as the Hebrew roots people want to call him, Rabbi Saul, when Saul was a wicked heathen Jew, hated God, hated Jesus, hated that New Testament, when he was that way, he did many things contrary to Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 10, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints are in the New Testament, did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. And that's where Paul was going. He was going to a strange city. He's going to Damascus. Oh, kill me some Christians. I hate them Christians. I hate them Jesus followers. I don't know. They don't follow the law like me. So I'm going to kill every one of them. And he did. He consented to their death. And he breathed out threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Looks to me like the beast made war with the saints and overcame them. And Saul had that spirit. He was following along with it. He's, man, you want to kill some Christians? I'm your guy. That's what he set out to do. And those that he killed, those that he had killed, those that he persecuted, they were saints of the Most High God, and the beast wore them out, causing even some of them to blaspheme God. Romans 1:7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Even the Gentile Romans were referred to as the saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for who? The saints, according to the will of God. And saints don't intercede for people. The saints need interceding for. You got their doctrine all messed up because they don't believe the Bible. Anyway, he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So saints have a mediator between us and God, which is Jesus Christ, not Mary, not Joseph. 1 Corinthians 1:2, under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Saints are the church. That's what it says. Church of God, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Didn't matter who they are. Didn't matter if they were Jew, Gentile. Didn't matter if they were European. Doesn't even matter if they were Irish. If they are in the congregation of the Lord, the church, they're called to be saints. That's what it says. 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Saints are in churches. So we have this witness. We have a witness of 1 Corinthians 1:2, the church of God called to be saints. In Romans 8 and Romans 1, to all that be in Rome, called to be saints. Gentiles can be saints. The church. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. There it is again. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches are the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Saints are the ones who receive the inheritance. Ephesians 2:19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. The household of God. One household of God. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see, I believe in the preservation of the saints. I also believe in the perseverance of the saints. Those two ideas are not contradictory. If we go back to Psalm 31:23, the Lord preserveth the faithful. That's what you have. You have preservation and perseverance working together. And if you just, if you want to get down to the nitty gritty of it, our faith, we're saved by grace through our faith. Where does our faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God is the one who gives faith to begin with. It's all the work of God, but it's the work of God through us. And I'm just saying that I think true born-again Christians stay true born-again Christians, and they stay faithful. They say, I believe the Bible. True born-again Bible-believing Christians die with a Bible in their hand, or they die with the Bible, the Word of God, in their mind. That's what I believe. It's what I see in the Scriptures. All perseverance and supplication for all saints. Colossians 1:2, to the saints and faithful brethren, there it is, in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his who? Saints. The mystery has been hid from the ages, from the, it's all hid back here. The rock that followed them was Jesus Christ. The manna that fell from heaven, that was Jesus Christ. Angel of the Lord that appeared to Moses, that was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is like there in every place. They just didn't recognize it. That's why they called the bread from heaven manna. And they were going, what is that? That's what manna means. What is that? What is that? I don't know. What do we call it? I don't know. What is that? That's what they called it. What is that? They didn't know. And Jesus said, that was me. Remember? That was me. Anyway, that now it's made manifest to the saints. Why? Because of the opening and the reading of the New Testament. The New Testament makes it clear. The New Testament will show you that Christ was there all throughout the Old Testament. Grace was there all throughout the Old Testament. Forgiveness of sins was there all throughout the Old Testament. It was all there. Grace was all there. 2 Thessalonians 1:10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. See, and I mean this. Forgive me if I'm wrong, and I mean it. Please, please have mercy on me. I'm trying to understand this like everybody else is, or everybody else should. I don't have permission to change anything in here. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. that wicked shall be revealed. He is the son of perdition. He is the beast, the Antichrist. It says here it's going to be revealed before our gathering together unto Christ. Before that. Not after. Before. So, it says here in 2 Thessalonians 1:10, he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Who is it in Revelation 13 that the beast is making war against and overcoming? The saints. I don't have a perfect full understanding of that. I choose not to read everybody's charts. I won't do it. I don't see charts in the Bible. What I see is words, words that mean something, words that are part of the mind of God. That's what I have to stick with. That's the rules. Jude 1:3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, this is one salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. You know what I think? That, you know what that is? That is Revelation 19, the Lord coming and us following with him on white horses. Boy, I love that. 10,000s of his saints. Revelation 16, 6, for they have shed the blood of saints and of prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. They have shed the blood of saints and prophets. That's been going on for years. And us living in free America, or free Canada, or free Europe, or free Australia, free Kenya, we have the ability right now to preach the gospel without persecution, without life-threatening persecution. It's not so in most other places in the world. Try being a Christian in North Korea and ask yourself if you ever go through. Ask yourself if the beast makes war against his saints and overcomes them. Happens all the time. Revelation 17, 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Rome has been drinking the blood of the saints for years during the Inquisition. That's Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon drank the blood of righteous Abel back in Genesis chapter 4. Her mouth, the earth opened her mouth to receive Abel's blood. And she's been drunk ever since. She's going, that's good. And she drinks the blood of the saints. She hates them. And she says, I'm going to kill every one of them. And she's got a beast that she's riding on that is going to make sure that she's got plenty of blood to drink. It's been doing it for thousands of years. What makes us think that this is only for this little piece right here in history, but God never did it before that? That's not true. Revelation 18, 24, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. That's her. Romans 8, 35. Think about what the Bible says, okay? Instead of the charts, instead of the prophecy books, instead of the seminar that you had to take, think about what the Bible says. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation. Now, if you want to say, yeah, Mike's a post-trib or is a mid-trib. No. I don't know. The Bible doesn't. I have not seen tribulation equaling 7 years in the Bible. I haven't seen the verse. I haven't seen two of the verses. Maybe I just haven't found it yet, like others have. Maybe I need to read their books. I don't know. But I think if you study the word tribulation or tribulations in the Bible, I think you'll find out that we who believe and are the saints and live for God and believe the Bible and believe the blood, I guarantee you, she hates us, and that beast hates us, and he makes war against us and overcomes us at times. That's tribulation, the trying of our faith. And none of these shall separate us from the love of Christ, distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Even the ones who are persecuted or in peril or who are killed. Listen, when you kill me, now I'm way more powerful than you are. Think about it. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors to him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what I like to do? I like to count. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. There's seven things there. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. There's 10 things there. 17 things cannot separate us from the love of God. Go read 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Go read that. Go read Genesis 17. That's a number for change. It's going to change in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. It's going to change. Abram changed in Genesis 17. Okay? It's beautiful. I love it. I love it. This is an amazing book. It's very well laid out. God did a good job with it. Good job, Lord. Okay? I'm not trying to rock anybody's boat. I really am not. I am trying to get you to ask questions. Okay? Ask questions. Ask, and if you find that you can't ask men questions because they get angry, just go ask God questions. God, tell me what's true. Tell me where the truth really is. And again, if I'm wrong, please have mercy on me. Don't be merciless like some people have decided to be. Because I am capable of being wrong. And if I knew where I was wrong, I would fix where I was wrong. But sometimes we don't know where we're wrong. We're just wrong. And so if I'm wrong, if I've offended you in some way because of what Revelation 13 says, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. But God's not done. He didn't stop there. The Bible didn't say, and thus ended God's work with the saints. Poor guys, they never made it. It doesn't say that. He's got something better than this life. And however God chooses to take this life away from me, he's got my permission to do it. Just as long as he does it. All right? Anyway, I love you. I love the Word of God more. And I want you to love that Word of God even more than me. I want you to honor it, revere it, and don't try to monkey around with it, all right? Just believe what it says and let God give you the understanding in due season, all right? God bless you. I love you. This is Pastor Mike. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.